I entitled this sermon in the beginning because I figured, well, first sermon of the year that you're going to hear, so it's a new beginning. We just left 2018 and are now 2019. That's a new beginning. I mean, everyone here has had some sort of new beginning in their life. I know you've all been born. You've all took your first steps. Hopefully, like I just heard from Rich, that you're born again. And we took our first day of school, so on and so on and so on. It was on and on and on and on and on. But what does the Bible tell us about new beginnings? What does the Bible say about which way we are to go and which way we are not to go? For that, I want to start at Genesis 1 through 5. Now, we could go on and on and on through Genesis, but I'm just going to pick a couple pieces out of it for a matter of time. We got it? All right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Then God said, let us make mankind in our own image. We're going to go on to 27. Yeah. We're going to jump forward here, like I said. We're not going to go through the whole thing. I apologize, but we're going to jump to 26. I didn't write my notes here. Then God said, let them make mankind in our own image and likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all of the wild, the wild animals, and over the creatures that move among the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So here we are. There's this big world. It's just a big round circle, completely dark. Happening. There's only God who can come down and say, we're going to have a new beginning here. We're going to begin this world. And He created darkness, and He created light. And He goes on to create all the other things, the fish, the sea, the waters, the... Then He just goes on and creates man and female, male and female. So God begun the whole world. According to God's word, you and I were even created in His own image. And a lot of you might be saying, well, how can that be? Because I don't look like Phil or Sue. No, if that was true, all look the same. But if you look deep down inside our hearts, you're going to see that we are all the same. All of us who have anything to do with Christ are all the same sinners. And we all are created in His image. And it's like some of us might have His eyes, some of us might have His fingers. But in some aspects of what we are created in His own image. And in the beginning, He created Adam and Eve. You all know the story. Okay? They've begun their lives in the splendors of the garden. They're in this garden, and they can do anything they want in this garden and live freely and live happily and live everything. except couldn't touch that one tree, could you? God said, don't touch that. Don't eat anything off that tree. So, what happens? We all know this tree. They eat from that tree. Then we start a new beginning. Now we have a beginning of a world with sin in it. But what they did there transformed all the way here to 2019. Because isn't there times in our lives that we will do something that we know we probably shouldn't do? This probably isn't right. But we end up doing it anyway because it feels good. And we, as humans, just don't like somebody us that we can't do something. That makes us want to do it all the more. When we correct our children and like that, I remember correcting Tori when she was little, and I'd harp at her and harp at her and harp at her. You cannot do this. You cannot do this. You cannot do this. What did she do? She went and did it. Because she wanted to find out what this special thing was that Dad said you couldn't do. I want to feel good. But unfortunately, Dad did the same thing. There was many times I remember living through my life with Marty that she would tell me, no, Tony, no, Tony, no, Tony. And I'm like, well, if you're hungry, well, I'm glad I saw it. or whatever the case may be. But we all go through this in life. Everything transcends. What I'm trying to tell you is that everything from this Bible will transcend from way back 2,000 or more years ago to 2019 today. So, we go on, and we also read about this man named, a lot of you is going to know, this probably know the story of Saul. Well, Saul was born around somewhere between 1 and 5 AD. He lived in a Greek household. He grew up in a Roman home, and at the age of 13 was sent to a special rabbi to teach him all the rules, all the law of the Greeks. Saul mastered this Jewish history. He knew it inside out and backwards. Thought he was doing godly work. But unfortunately, as we all know, he wasn't doing God's work. So here we have a man who started out in life probably pretty nice as a little kid. Then as he grew up, he was older, he began his life as a, you know, going to the rabbi at 13, and now he's going to go on to his life, believing that he's living a godly life. But notice, there was no mention of actually God being in there. He thought he was living a godly life, but there was no mention he was learning anything from God. So, he prosecuted Christians by throwing them in jail just for believing that there was a Messiah, that there was a God, that there was a Lord. If you said, I believe in Christ, you would be prosecuted and probably stoned. Stoned until the point where you were dead. He went on to become a lawyer. And he prosecuted even more. He kept prosecuting anybody that was a Christian. And he was after Christians. He wasn't after, you don't read in the Bible where he was after anybody else. He was after Christians. And he would prosecute these people. He would stone these people. He would bound them and throw them in jail. Then one day, he went to his rabbi friends and all the Roman Greeks, and said, I want to go, and I need your permission to go, and so I can take a whole bunch of people and bound them to Jerusalem to be prosecuted. So as we read in Acts 9:1-22, meanwhile Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went on to the high priest and asked him for letters to synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them to be prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you prosecute me? Now, could you imagine this? You're walking down the road, just thinking of nothing, thinking you're doing a godly thing. All of a sudden, a light comes down upon you. And somebody talks with you that you can't see, but you can hear them. We'll go on. He says, who are you, Lord? He knew who he was. I'm saying, you are Lord. He knew who he was. I am Jesus, who you are prosecuting, he replied. Now get up, go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. Can you imagine that? The light comes down upon you and all of a sudden you're blind. But you do what you were told. You go into Damascus and you wait. Don't eat, you're drinking, you're fasting. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. And ask for a man from Damascus named Saul, for he is praying. Now all of a sudden Saul's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come to this place and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. He's basically saying, Lord, this is a bad guy. Why do you want me to go to him? Why do you do anything with this man? All he does is prosecute and harm everything you've done. All your holy people. But he goes on and says, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you in the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately the scales fell from his eyes and he could see again. He got up, he was baptized, And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul then goes on to spend several days with the disciples in Damascus. And once he began to preach in the synagogue that Christ, that Jesus, is the Son of God, all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul, who more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. He was proving that Jesus was. Saul does a complete 180 for this. One minute he's prosecuting the living daylight out of Christians. That's anything that God or Christ is trying to do. And now he's preaching his word. You know, he started out as Saul, and as we know, Jesus changes his name to Paul. Paul goes on to preach Christ for the end of his life, hammering at home that Jesus is our God. He even wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. So he grew on to be a powerful, powerful man. Saul had a new beginning. He was born as before, he was born again. Now, we can all say, you know, what does this have to do with me? I'm not Saul. God never blinded me. Well, I want to tell you something. You might not be a murderer. Not be someone who is out there prosecuting Christians or stoning them or even saying bad things because this person or that person is a Christian. But as Pastor Jay said, are you a Jesus fan or are you a follower? You see, I want to tell you another little story about a new beginning. Maybe one that can relate a little bit closer to you. And that person is me. I'm going to use myself as an example. For those of you who may not know me or don't know my story, most of you probably know my story by now, I would think. But I'll give you a real quick background. Is my parents broke up when I was just a teenager, about 10. When my parents split up, I was tossed around like a hot potato between three people, my mother, my father, and my grandmother. So I didn't know which end was up. Went to Catholic school for a year. Was an altar boy, the whole nine yards. Priest comes to my grandmother's house, and I thought it was great. He comes to the house and says, "Rose, as long as you keep giving, you can be buried and everything in the church. You don't have to go to church, you just have to give." Well, when I heard that, everything in my mind, as far as religion goes, went out the window. I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. I go on to live my life. By 16, I believe it was, I was on probation for stealing cars. I was selling drugs. I was not a good person. I go on by 17, and this recruiter tells me he can get my record expunged, get me off of probation and everything by just joining the Navy. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I'll have a bed to sleep in. Because I was sleeping in parks, run down houses, whatever I could find. So I joined. Well, 6 months later, found out the Navy didn't want me either. They discharged me. Now, they discharged me with an honorable discharge, but they discharged me. Now I'm thinking, my gosh, even the Navy doesn't want me. I go on, by 18, I'm in Warren County Prison. I did 6 months in Warren County Prison. I go on from there, I get out of jail, on probation again, I get married. That lasts about 4 years. Later on, I got married again. That lasted 2 weeks. I was a dog. Then I met this woman, and as all you know, it was Marty. And something changed. It wasn't a whole lot changed, but I met Marty and went on with our lives. We had Corey. We eventually got married. It was 5 or 6 years into our relationship that we got married. But the amazing was, I met an amazing, amazing family. I came to this church every Sunday. They would stop at the house every single Sunday, pick up the kids, bring them to church. Kids would tell me, Daddy, why are you going to church? I said, if I come to church, the church is going to burn down and everybody would be mad at me. And it went on. I did come to church a couple times, but it was only for Christmas or Easter or something, when the kids had the cantatas and stuff like that, the kids would be involved in stuff, I would come and watch. Then I came one Sunday and listened to this man named Pastor Sandin. And I thought he was a great preacher, great pastor. But that didn't last. Then, flipping hamburgers one day, up at the Plainfield Farmers Fair, here at the time, Pastor Mark, I thought I could get a quick, wanted him to guide me. I wanted him to tell me, counsel me. I figured he could do it for free. Yeah. I come to his office right up here. He says, all you need to do is go to Mentor Tree. He didn't even talk to me. Just said to me, I know exactly what you need. You need to go to this place. You need to be on vacation. I said, I'm not a holy man. I don't want to do anything. He's like, you don't have to do anything. You can just go play baseball. You can go swimming. You can do all these things. And you don't have to do attend any meetings or anything. So I said, all right, I'll go. Well, when it came time to go, I didn't want to go. But my kids pushed me out the door. I said, Daddy, you said you were going. You need to go. So I went. First night there. I really should go to their church setting or whatever it was, whatever you want to call it, and listen to the speaker, because they're paying for all this for me and everything. It didn't cost me a nickel. Somebody happened to back out and they couldn't get the refund, so I just took it in their place. And something amazing, I was sitting in a pew, it was a church, and when I was sitting in a pew, I passed on one side, Bruce Hendershot, who was the youth pastor here at the time, sitting on the other side of me. I'm listening to this guy talk, and I don't remember what he was talking about or anything like that, but I listened to this guy talk, and all of a sudden something came down over me. And at that very time when something came down over me, Pastor Mark turned to me, and then Bruce Hendershot turned to me on the other side and looked at me and said, Tony, are you ready to accept Christ into your heart? And I did. We went off to the back room. I went off to the back room, accepted Christ, came back, haven't turned back since. Since then, I've become a licensed pastor. Since then, I've preached here many times. I've preached up north. I've done weddings. I've done funerals. I'm not saying my life has been a bed of roses. Obviously, one day, I had a horrible accident. 4 people died. My wife, after 30 years of marrying, my parents, my mother has passed away, my stepfather has passed away, my nephew at 18 passed away.
been a bed of roses. But I'm here to tell you, I've accepted him since he came down. And that light shone upon me, just like it did for Saul. When that light came down on him and blinded him. See, I feel I was blind. I feel I was in prison all that time. I needed a new beginning. And Christ knew that. He's the one who put me with Marty. He's the one who put me with my, I truly believe, was specifically to be with this family so I would start coming to church and I would change my ways and I would put Christ into my heart. And I don't know about you, but all this stuff about Saul really related to me when I read this. Because the light did shine down upon me. I did change my way. And it was through Christ that I was able to get through all the stuff that I had to get. Him, when my wife of 30 years passed away, without Christ, I probably wouldn't be here right now. I don't know if I'd be on this world right now. But with the power of Christ, I was able to get through all that. With help with my Christian friends and family. And also, God blesses. God blessed me with a new wife. Godly woman. A woman who's ready to and take our ministry on further and further and further. I've been preaching in jails now. I preached last Saturday at a jail. 17 women came to Christ. 17 women. And they all came to me and said, Tony, you are one of the best ones that we've heard because I can relate to you. Because I was able to relate to them, obviously. I was sitting in their position at one point. So I'm here to tell you that, listen, for any of you out there that don't really have Christ in your heart, let that light shine down upon you now. Become a Christ follower, not a Christ fan. Don't just come to church on Sundays. Let Christ overflow your soul like he's done with me. And once you start overflowing your heart, you need to take that out to the world. I don't care if it's in a prison. I don't care if it's at the grocery store. I don't care if it's while you're getting your hair done. Your hair done, your nails done, whatever. So take Christ with you. Make sure that everyone you meet sees Christ coming upon you. I can just imagine Saul at the time when he does this complete 180, how they're looking at him and saying, this is the guy who was prosecuting Christ? I mean, I have the same thing. A lot of my, no longer my friends, but I have a lot of old friends, you know, that I got my drugs from, that I stole cars for and what. Some of my regular friends look at me now and say, are you the same Tony? I don't know you anymore. And that made me feel good too, because I'm no longer this piece of crap, basically. They've seen the change in me. They're seeing Christ come from me and fill their. That's what each and every one of us, need that new beginning. And I'm going to close here that this beginning, whenever we talk about beginnings, we talk about ends. That end real quick. That end real quick is going to be very simple. It's really simple. You're either going to follow Christ and you're going to go on in heaven in all the splendors without having any problems and being happy and joyful and seeing the rest of your families and whatnot? Or are you going to go to hell and be tormented? See, your life really doesn't end. Your body will end here. Now and everything like that. Your soul's going to go on. You need to decide whether you want that new beginning to be with Christ, or you want that new beginning with Satan. Most of you know that I love to preach evangelistically, or whatever you want to call it, because I want to bring people to help them bring some of God. So I'm telling you now, that's what I'm telling you now. I pray so hard that each and every one of you really do have Christ, that you're going to make that new beginning. Because not, and you can't say it's because of sin, because not one sin is greater than the other. He took a guy like Saul, a murderer and everything like that, and took him and used him as an instrument. He will use you also. So again, I just pray for a new beginning. Let us pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this day, Lord Jesus, I come to you with a heart, Lord God, that wants to make sure that each and every person out here has a heart for you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we all want that new beginning. Each and every one of us here want our hearts to be overflowing with you. Because if our hearts are overflowing with you, this church would be overflowing. Because we would be telling everybody and anybody about you. And yes, we know that all of us would not, all these people that we talk to aren't going to accept you. We understand that, but if there's just one, we'll miss that one if we don't talk about you. We'll miss that one if we're not with you. That our hearts aren't abounding for you. So Lord, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that each and every person here again would take their hearts and let them overflow, and take that overflow and take it out to the world. As we get ready for communion, I just ask, Lord Jesus, that each and every one of us would be accepting of you. We will remember you. We will remember everything you've done for us. How you lived on this earth. How you died on that cross. How you rose from that tomb. We love you, Jesus. And we just want to be with you. If you are here now and ready for a new beginning, please just raise your hand and let me know that you're ready for a new beginning so I can pray for you. Okay, Lord. Again, we just want you to be with us. Fill us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Let that light shine upon each and every one of us. Keep that light shining upon each and every one of us so everyone can see it. And in all the world we would praise your name.